The word today is family. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. God's plan for his world was to build society on the family unit. But Satan has attacked the family in many ways, and marriages are struggling and broken. Here to review God's plan for marriage is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Family.
God designed the Christian family to be the bulwark and the framework and the whole basis for society. And so I believe that's one reason why the family is so severely under attack by the devil. You know, God intended the family to be the source or the place where every individual person and every child born into that relationship could learn to love, could learn to understand who they were, could learn to accept, could learn to have basic principles of life on how to act, how to speak. You know, I believe the family was intended by God to be the nurturing place where you could learn not only about yourself, but learn about others and learn about society in general. Now, it's obvious that therefore the church, which God set up on the same principles, so to speak, that people should get together, people should accept one another, people should love one another, people should share with one another, should be a place where you could learn not only who you were and not only how you should act, but how other people should act and how groups and societies should act. So I believe the church is correctly called a family, the family of God. And you can read about this throughout the scripture, not only here in 1 Peter, the third chapter, which it's very specifically referred to, but also in Ephesians. I believe Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 6 cover this whole section pretty well. I believe it would be a very basically wonderful thing if every person today would say, I'm going to think about my family, my father, my mother, my grandfather, my grandmother, my brothers, my sisters, my relatives. Because in that process, we will not only be learning more about ourselves, but we'll be learning more about how we treat and react to one another. It's just a terrible shame that it occurs that some sin, maybe talking about a brother or a sister, maybe talking about another relative, has drawn a line between the families and caused them to separate and caused them to feel that they can't associate anymore. That's really terrible. That's about the worst thing that can happen, because instead of having the love and the sharing and the forgiveness and all the communication that goes on, instead there is this vacuum, there is this hollow, there is this kind of a dead feeling. What a terrifying thing that must be. And I would hope that today, as we're talking about 1 Peter, the third chapter, that you will read it and prayerfully look at it and ask God's blessing so that you will evaluate how are things between my brother and myself, between my father and my mother, between myself and my mother, between myself and my father, etc., and analyze those things and bring them before God, asking forgiveness where forgiveness is needed, giving forgiveness where there's been a repentance of something that's been done negatively toward you, and restore these relationships. It's so positively important to have good relationships in our family. Now notice I mentioned at the beginning, it's no surprise that the devil is attacking the family, because it's so important. It's where we learn love and basic things in our lives about communication. It's where we should have the ability to be ourselves, so to speak, so that we didn't have to put on fancy appearance as though we were something that we're not. And no wonder, therefore, when Satan wants to attack Christians, he will often do it through families. He will often do it through relationships. And, you know, it's not surprising that the devil, when he raises up cults and tries to get non-Christians involved in some other type of communication with one another where they can show love and understanding, he will make these cults almost like families. You will notice that most of the cults seem to kind of gravitate toward each other. They live in one place. They will have some project. Maybe it's as simple as selling flowers on the street. Maybe it's as simple as doing certain things to make them feel as though they're all working together and that they're all sharing and that they're all really being a family to one another, that they can do things together. Have you ever noticed that when you're on a vacation, if you happen to be alone for whatever reason, and you experience an exciting thing, or maybe you see theater, or maybe you see a scenery of a national park or something, you say, oh, I certainly wish my wife were here, or my husband were here, or my son or my daughter. Have you ever had that experience where you say, oh, I certainly wish there was someone with me that I could share this with? Well, that's what God has built the family for, so that we could have one another and share, not only in times of grief and sorrow, as important as that certainly is, that we can be upheld by our loved ones and comforted, but also in times of great joy when we can say, oh, isn't this wonderful that we are here together and that we can share this together. I really want to urge you to work at family outings. I think, for instance, it would be the responsibility of every husband who has a hardworking wife taking care of the family and the kids to try to make it maybe at least once a week, I would hope, certainly several times a month, to say, okay, this is Mother's Day out. And not just on that one day a year when we celebrate Mother's Day, but maybe there ought to be, and you don't always have to go fancy when you go out to eat. You know, it can be a McDonald's, for instance. But it would be a family outing and give Mother a chance to get away from the cooking and the cleaning and all the other things. And let her appreciate the time that the family now is providing for her. I think that would be so wonderful, or a family ride. Our family used to do this. We used to take rides on Sunday afternoon and just ride around. Now, of course, that's even getting difficult, isn't it? With the price of gas going up to $4 a gallon, it's getting to the point where you can hardly even take a joyride anymore. So things are, things are tough, but I believe if it's important enough, we will make an effort to really show the togetherness that we have in a family. And one of the fine things in the Christian church is when you have gatherings where you can socialize, where you can also say, well, let's talk about, you know, what's going on at work. Let's pray for one another. Let's see how things are going. Now, while we're in this third chapter of 1 Peter, there's a lot of things that are connected with the family. For instance, it discusses the woman's beauty there. Let her beauty not be in all kind of bangles and braidery and jewelry and clothing and so on. But let it be, it says, for instance, go down to the end there of verse 4 and 5, where it talks about the women that are faithful to their husbands, the women that are submissive to their own husbands. You know, that's been terribly misunderstood by some modern-day women, as though that means she becomes a slave to her husband. Well, there's nothing further from the truth. That isn't what it is at all. She is not at the whim of a dictatorship-type husband. That is not at all what God is talking about here. He's talking about a husband who loves her, cares for her, provides for her, protects her, and such a husband who thinks of her and puts her first on a pedestal, so to speak, The wife will be very happy to say, I listen to my husband. I want to be cooperating with him as we raise the children. I want to have us together in our thinking as we plan for the future. All those things are the aspects of a Christian home and a Christian life together. And if you doubt this, take a look at verse 7. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate of your wives, and it tells how to treat them. It says, for they are also heirs with you, H-E-I-R-S. We are inheriting the gracious gift of life eternal in heaven. There's no difference between the salvation of a woman and a man. And God has died through his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent to this earth to pay the penalty of our sins. He rose from the dead Easter morning and has now returned to his Father on Ascension Day and will one day come again, that's Judgment Day, to take us to himself. And so God wants the family to be a kind of a prototype. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what I mean, of the Christian church. And he wants the Christian church to show the world what love is and what understanding and what acceptance is as we make the home the place of peace and love and forgiveness. What a fantastic thing it is to have a Christian father and a mother and to raise your children so that they in turn will raise their children to be Christians. I hope that you will come to one sort of a family meeting and say, let's make sure we always, every day, speak God's love and forgiveness to each other. In our family, it's the little saying, may God bless you and keep you. We say that before saying goodbye always. We have that at the close of every one of our letters that we write when we're away from one another. We say that on the phone. We say that constantly, may God bless you and keep you. That's the forefront of our thinking, that God and his Son, Jesus Christ, are in the center of our families. May Jesus show his love and concern for you, keep you in his care, and may your families, every single member of your family, experience God's love and forgiveness and peace. May God be with you.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.